I'll take a loss.
I'll make good, Sophia said.
I know you will. That's the purpose of my call. We have much to discuss, because my loss won't be a one-time thing. It will be ongoing. My reputation will be ruined. Why would my contacts ever trust me again? I'll lose their business. Forever. Which means you'll have to compensate me forever. In effect, I will own you for the rest of your life. Do you see my point? All Sophia could say was, I believe the shipment is actually on its way, as of right now, a week late. I'm suffering too, and I'm trying to do something about it. I made my contact send two of his men up there, and then I sent two of my men over to him to make sure he concentrates. Men? Machmaney said. You employ men. Or boys. They're good people. You're about to find out what men are. I'm sending two of mine to you to make sure you concentrate. Then the phone went dead, and Sophia was left sitting there, awaiting the arrival of two Iranian tough guys in an office that had, just an hour ago, been stripped of the better half of its security. Reacher made it to the two wooden buildings without further trouble, which was no big surprise to him. Six remaining football players and two out-of-towners made a total of just eight warm bodies, and he guessed the out-of-towners would be riding together, which made a total of just seven roving vehicles loose in a county that must have covered many hundreds of square miles. One random encounter had been fortuitous in the extreme. Two would be incalculably unlikely. The old barn was still locked and listing, and the pickup truck was still hidden in the smaller shelter, undiscovered and undisturbed, as far as Reacher could tell. It was cold and inert. The air in the shelter was dry, and it smelled of dust and mouse droppings. The countryside all around was empty and silent. Reacher opened up the tool locker in the pickup's load bed and took a look at the contents. The biggest thing left in there was an adjustable wrench about a foot long, some kind of polished steel alloy. It weighed about a pound and a half. Made in the USA. Not the greatest weapon in the world, but better than nothing. Reacher put it in his coat pocket and rooted around for more. He came up with two screwdrivers, one a stubby Phillips crosshead design with a rubber handle, and one a long, slender thing with a regular blade for a regular slotted screw. He put them in his other pocket and closed the locker and climbed in the cab. He started up and backed out, and then he followed the deep tractor ruts all the way east to the road, where he turned north and headed for the motel. Sophia's two tough guys arrived in Rossi's office carrying guns in shoulder holsters and black nylon bags in their hands. They unpacked the bags on Rossi's desk, right in front of him. The first bag carried just one item, and the second bag carried two items. From the first bag came a belt sander, already loaded with a fresh loop of coarse grain abrasive. From the second bag came a propane blowtorch and a roll of duct tape. Tools of the trade. And therefore, an unmistakable message to a guy in Rossi's world. In Rossi's world, victims were taped naked to chairs, and belt sanders were fired up and applied to tender areas like knees or elbows or chests or faces, even. Then blowtorches were sparked to life for a little extra fun. Nobody spoke. Rossi dialed his phone. Three rings, and Roberto Cassano answered. In Nebraska. Rossi said, "What the hell is happening up there? This thing really
Can't wait.
Cassano said,
We're chasing shadows.
Chase them harder.
What's the point? Who knows whether this guy has anything to do with anything? You told us. You figure he's an excuse. So whatever happens to him isn't going to make the shipment show up any faster.
Have you ever told a lie?
Not to you, boss.
To anyone else?
Sure.
Then you know how it goes. You arrange things to make sure you don't get caught out. And I think that's what those Duncan bastards are going to do. They're going to hold the shipment somewhere until the guy gets caught, to make it look like they were telling the truth all along, like cause and effect. So whether we want to or not, we're going to have to play their game their way. So find this asshole, will you? And fast. This thing can't wait.
Rossi clicked off the call. One of the Lebanese guys had been unrolling the belt sander's cord. Now he bent down and plugged it in. He flicked the switch, just a blip, just a second, and the machine started and whirred and stopped. A test. A message.
Richard drove to the motel and parked next to the doctor's wrecked Subaru. It was still there, outside cabin 6. He got out and squatted down front and rear and used the smaller screwdriver from his pocket to take the plates off the pickup truck. Then he took the plates off the Subaru and put them on the pickup. He tossed the pickup's plates into the load bed and put the screwdriver back in his pocket and headed for the lounge. Vincent was in there, behind the bar, wiping it with a rag. He had a black eye and a thick lip and a swelling the size of a mouse's back on his cheek. One of the mirrors behind him was broken. Pieces of glass, the shape of lightning bolts, had fallen out. Old wallboard was exposed, taped and yellowing, earthbound and prosaic. The room's cheerful illusion was diminished. Reacher said,
I'm sorry I got you in trouble.
Vincent asked, Did you spend the night here?
Do you really want to know?
No, I guess I don't. Reacher checked himself in the broken mirror. One ear was scabbing over where he had scraped it on the rock. His face had scratches from the thorns. His hands, too, and his back, where his coat and shirt and sweater had ridden up. He asked, Did those guys have a list of places they were looking?
Vincent said, I imagine they'll go house to house.
What are they driving?
A rental?
Color?
It was something dark. Dark blue, maybe? A Chevrolet, I think.
Did they say who they were?